This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back, folks. You know, there's a lot of concern about any retaliatory actions taken by Iran. We know that they have been the predominant funder of terrorism around the world. We also know that they have sleeper cells located in all kinds of different countries around the world as well. What we don't know is their intent and how they will ultimately utilize this network of terrorists that they have. Craig Wiles, adjunct professor for Tulane Homeland Security, who designed a graduate course on narco-terrorism at Tulane University, joins us. Craig, welcome to the show.
Sheriff, thank you. It's a pleasure, sir.
It's good to hear your voice, Craig. It's been a long time. How serious of an issue and how concerned should we be?
And that's a great question, Sheriff. As we know, with the recent memo that was just released by the CBP Commissioner Rodney Scott, where it's titled, "Thousands of Iranian Nationals Have Been Documented in the United States Illegally, Countless More Were Likely to in the Known and Unknown Gotaways," roughly upwards to 2 million gotaways, as a matter of fact. He reports that in this same memo that the possibility of sleeper cells terror domestically has never been higher. I think the reality based on that memo was, of course, it was on the backside of the U.S. Air Force dropping the 14 bunker buster bombs in Iran. Iran continues to be probably, in our relationship, one of the most contentious and complex in modern politics. As you know, I spent 8.5 years in Afghanistan and had the opportunity to meet with a number of Iranian officials and talking about funding terrorism and, quite candidly, the heroin problem. But our partnership, although is strategic and at times hostile, we've got to keep this diplomatic approach. And with that in mind, I believe Iran feels the same way. I mean, they have a newly elected president, and I completely understand the Ayatollah controls the military. But they have a newly elected president last year, who by their standards is a moderate. And he is probably the one that's trying to keep a level head as we move forward through this chapter. We do know that Iran uses Hezbollah, which has been is a Lebanese-funded group, but funded by Iran, who spends the majority of their time in Venezuela. And we know they have a strong relationship with Hamas, and they continue to enjoy that relationship. But even Hezbollah has come out and said, you know what, if you're going to poke the United States, the bear of the United States, we don't want anything to do with it. So I believe, sir, probably without a doubt, and we've seen this through some of the reporting of the border crossings, There are those that have made it across into the United States that have loyalty to Iran and have loyalty to Hezbollah and Hamas. We know, as an example, the border crossings over the last couple of years have been through the roof. And in fact, when I was evacuated out of Afghanistan and 2021, a number of Afghans had said to me that they were going to try to make their way to the southwest border because because they weren't able to get across through diplomatic ways. And we even found with Afghans, roughly 150,000 Afghans we brought into this country, and over a dozen of them were on the no-fly list. So we've been complacent with even facilitating those individuals getting into our country.
As long as you've been doing this, I would imagine, is it safe to say that you're kind of mystified as to why we are missing the opportunities to try and gather intelligence information from individuals that are crossing the border, and that we're not more intrusive? We haven't been more intrusive over this past 4 years, and we've been fighting, you know, this issue, I think, without really focusing on what it really is all about, is the safety and security of our country. You can't just let everybody in, because we know that they have folks that are not well-intentioned, have malintent in their heart and in their mind, and would love to destroy us. I mean, that's not a reach, is it?
No, sir. As a matter of fact, Sheriff, President Obama said in June 2011, as president, I have no greater responsibility than protecting the American people. And it does. I scratch my head, having been in this business my whole life. I scratch my head over these missed opportunities and this reinventing institutional knowledge. I don't know why it's so thin that we can't for a minute take advantage of the opportunities that are right in front of us. These Border Patrol officers are some of the finest young women and men that that we have. For sure they're overworked, and for sure they're underpaid. And when they raise their hand, their efforts are to hold the line. And why don't we empower them to truly take it to the next step and ask really just simple questions that we can use as intelligence-based and develop those into evidentiary-based investigations? You're exactly right.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
So, obviously, they recognize the big challenge now. I think there's been somewhere between 40 and 60 Iranian illegals that have been arrested. I got to imagine those numbers are going to increase. We don't really know how big the problem, though, is, right?
No, sir. What we do know is there were over 1,200 captured over the last 4 years, and roughly three quarters of those were released into the United States under a notice to appear type of handshake agreement. But we also don't know, based on the 2 million gotaways, or specifically the 900,000 that came from countries in Latin America that are allies of Iran, specifically Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, Haiti. There's been reports that there's over 530,000 of those citizens that were paroled into the United States under a notice to appear type of program. So is there one hiding in there? We can't rule it out. For sure we can't rule it out. We must remain vigilant and I guess see something, say something, right?
Well, and it's the same thing with the Chinese, right? I mean, we don't really know how many of these folks have come in, but we do know that there were folks that have been intentionally planted here because we've made cases. So, you know, we know that it is in fact occurred.
You're absolutely right. Is that some reports from the CBP have suggested 65,000 Chinese nationals were apprehended illegally crossing into the southwest border, compared to 5,000 in 2017, to 2020. You're absolutely correct. How many of those Chinese nationals are here for ill will? We've got to assume that there is a percentage of state actors that's amongst that group of folks that are now sitting here in the United States and with no interest in doing anything good for our country.
So what do you think are going to be the next steps for CBP as it relates to this Iranian threat? I mean, we all hope and pray that the ceasefire holds firm. We hope and pray that we get through some type of or semblance of a negotiation process that reaches some goals that we hope to achieve. But we also understand the fragility of all of this, right? And we also understand
absolutely.
The ability of the Iranian government to try and separate themselves from these sleeper cells, all the while knowing that in many cases they're intrinsically linked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to that point, listen, this relationship with Iran, we all know the timeline. Pre-1979, we were friends. As a matter of fact, as we fast forward, we see Israel shooting at military targets on the ground. They're F-14 Tomahawks. So they're ours. Those were military assets that we sold to the country. So we've almost come full circle, right? So we're almost, I guess, do we look at them as the best friend money can buy, or do we continue to push through and try to hold a standard? And under this current truce, temporary truce that the president has demanded, what we have found are two countries that have taken a pause in hopes of trying to push some type of peace plan forward. I'm not sure at the end of the day that they'll ever be the pre-1979 ally that we had counted on for that region. But I don't know at this point if they have any allies in that region. We take a look at this situation, Sheriff, and we say, and the base they fired the rockets at was the base that they had evacuated all of us from Afghanistan to. So I'd spent time on that base. And they were able to intercept 13 of those rockets, and the 14th caused no damage. So a ceremonial response to the 14 bunker busters that we dropped. But for a Muslim country firing on us, the sovereignty of another Muslim country, we even see the Saudis saying, hey, enough is enough. Stop it. Knock it off. We see Qatar as well saying the same thing. And you can't help but ask yourself, when President Trump came into office, his very first international trip was to Saudi Arabia in May. And looking back on it now, does he play a game of chess? Was he telling our allies in Saudi Arabia at that time, hey, listen, I'm going to do something about Iran and Israel. Hang tight. I don't know. But what we're seeing is the global response to Iran is to knock it off.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I've always been concerned about these sleeper cells in this country because as they get more and more radicalized, they also become more independent from you know, the queen bee, right, being
exactly.
Iran.
Exactly.
And you never know when they go rogue, right?
Yeah, I've got to tell you,
Iran,
you're right, Sheriff.
You know, and that's always been, you know, the concern. And the other concern is typically if they're going to do something, it's going to be of a magnitude that draws a lot of attention. And there are so many soft targets and hard targets available to them here.
You're absolutely right. Boy, 9/11 sure changed all of our mindsets, didn't it?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I mean, you know, it's not something that I would have typically known, you know, as a local government official or law enforcement agent. But we learned fast. And
we sure did.
You know, we've been called a lot of names for locking down the border. And I said that this morning in my monologue, you know, racist, xenophobic, this, that, and everything else. But it's all about the safety and security of the homeland. You got to know who's coming to your country. Plain and simple.
There are no excuses. Simple rules.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're so right. We have the laws on the books just allow our agencies to enforce those laws. Absolutely. I totally agree with you, sir.
I just don't understand why we're at odds over this issue, you know, and do we need something horrible to happen before we wake up? I certainly hope not. It's too late then.
Well,
so
it sure
we've had that experience in 2001, right?
I mean, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, and listen, that was 9 terrorists, right? So, yeah. I mean, that the bread and butter behind it was simply $450,000 to fund that operation. Wasn't a lot of money, and it changed all of us on how we look at and perceive things as we move forward.
No doubt. Craig Wiles, as always, thank you so much for your time, your insight, adjunct professor at Tulane Homeland Security. We appreciate your time. Have a great week.
Sheriff, always a pleasure, sir. Good day to you.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.